Pickaxe.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Let's start. Can we get some gentle harp music and like some sparkly sounds like we're in a fairy kingdom? That would be a nice opening, I think.
Really?
Right.
Welcome, friends, to the Triforce podcast. Please sit down on these unbelievably comfortable chairs made of kitten stomachs and fairy bottoms.
Welcome to the virtual Ren Fair. Since all of the real ones are cancelled this year, we're providing you one digitally, where you can wear your Shakespeare mustaches and
say "milady" with impunity.
Say "milady" all the time and wear fedora hats and whatever else they used to fucking wear.
Sit down on this toadstool and share one of my doobies with me.
Doobie. That's what my mum. That's the word my mum.
Is that what it all comes down to? Is that when you go to a Ren Fair? That's what it all boils down to.
Just to be clear, a Ren Fair is Renaissance Fair, is that right?
I think so.
Why the Renaissance?
I have no idea. I guess it was like it's a fashion thing, right?
I think the people who go to them aren't actually introverted LARPer people who would rather stay at home anyway. You know, it tends to be people who aren't that interested in history, just have this golden tinted, rose tinted view of what people used to do in oldie times when it was old. Oh, let us just farm and have barn dances and all spin around in circles and kiss each other with the cows in the background. I don't know, hay dresses and stuff.
My
perception of a Ren Fair, or at least the imagery I've seen surrounding Ren Fairs in the past, has been like more sort of like, it looks like people dressed like for a Shakespeare play. Out in a forest somewhere with like tents, and
usually there's
like a blacksmith and a you know, like a
but everyone's holding a haunch of meat and a pint of beer.
Woodmaker?
Haunch.
Do you know what I mean?
Good use of the word haunch.
Everyone's kind of there in a Disney sort of way. You know, it's very always a sunny day for a start. Mm. You know,
yeah.
Well, and so in England, we're talking about, you know, about a week and a half every year when it's possible to put on this thing. Otherwise, it's just this drab kind of everyone cuddling inside the rain with an old woman saying, "Oh, do you want a cup of tea, dear? I could give you a digestive biscuit with that if you like." And old Mrs. Marshall's made some scones, but she used salt instead of sugar. So they're savoury scones, we call them. And they got ham in. It's like, what? You know, that's what we're dealing with.
That's
in
the
England.
Alternative.
Right. I got some cold hard facts on a Renaissance fair for you here, if you care to listen.
90% of the women apparently that attend have an enormous bosom.
Oh,
yes.
From the pictures that I'm looking at here.
And they're okay if you call them wenches.
I mean, I'm tempted to go. I am seriously tempted to go. I don't know if they are okay if you call them wenches.
I think it's kind of like Oktoberfest, only...
No, it's not at all. Listen, okay, listen to this. A Renaissance
fair... Listen, Lewis, for once in your life, listen.
Renaissance fair or Renaissance festival is an outdoor weekend gathering, usually held in the United States, open to the public and typically commercial in nature.
There's one in
which
Bristol.
Reportedly recreates a historical setting for the amusement of its guests. Some are permanent theme parks, while others are short-term events in a fairground, winery, or other large public or private spaces. Many Renaissance fairs are set during the reign of Queen Elizabeth I of England. Some are set earlier during the reign of Henry VIII.
Somerset.
Or in other countries,
Somerset,
such as France.
In Somerset.
And some are set outside the era of the Renaissance. These may include earlier medieval periods, including Vikings or later periods. Most Renaissance fairs are arranged to represent an imagined village in England during the reign of Elizabeth I. As this period has been generally considered to correspond to the flowering of the English Renaissance. Right. So there you go.
I love that.
Yeah.
If the Vikings invaded the Renaissance fair.
Yeah.
Some Viking LARPers turn up and start slapping everyone with foam
fantasy
swords.
Elements such as centaurs are welcomed at some Renaissance fairs. So there is an element of thing is...
Big question. Big question. You turn
nature.
Up at a Renaissance fair that doesn't allow fantasy in full centaur cosplay. What do they do?
Mm.
Do they say, I'm sorry, you're going to have to leave?
This is not that kind of fair, sir. That you're
that sounds like the Renaissance unfair to me.
Yeah,
this
doesn't sound very 2020. It doesn't sound very inclusive. Do you know what I mean? You should be allowing the people to express themselves
whether they be bipedal,
they comfortable,
quadrupedal, or from Somerset, they should be treated the same.
Yeah, as long as they've got weed and they're willing to share and pass the doobie.
I think it's a mead, not weed, would be the sign that people would go for. I should work at a Renaissance fair. I'm amazing at this. Mead, not weed. Somerset in Somerset. I'm on fire here.
We should do our research, honestly. We should go to one.
We should do that next year.
This podcast should be about us going, stories of us doing stuff, not thinking about what stuff is and speculating wildly.
It got popular in the US after World War II, apparently, during the 1950s. There's a very strong early music revival, and out of that came folk musician and traditionalist John Langstaff.
Oh, God, what a guy he was.
Apparently, this is the guy that we can thank for Renaissance fairs.
He had the langest staff you've ever seen. The staff on this guy, you wouldn't believe it.
Oh, yeah, there's a Bristol Renaissance fair outside of Chicago. It's American.
Oh, I see.
I think it's a good. I mean, it's a good excuse to get people together in a warm environment that's copyright free. You know, they don't have to pay. I don't know, Harry Potter or someone to put on some themed bullshit.
Yeah.
Right. There's no maltreatment of animals necessarily. No circus people. There's no freaks or anything being on show. Nothing cruel like that. Right. It's not just a booze up. It's not a music festival. You don't have to be really loud and annoying. So you can bring the kids. It feels like fairly safe. Like, how many other choices, how many other options are there?
Bring the kids. You know? I want to have fun. There's one in Tewkesbury.
We don't have to bring the kids.
There's one in Tewkesbury, which is not far from Bristol. We should go.
We should go.
We should go.
It's sort of a popular thing, isn't it? Because have you ever heard of Medieval Times? Like, it was like a...
I've been to one.
Like a jousting
sort of
tournament thing you can go to. You can eat and watch some jousts and knight
could
battles.
Could you tie your
stuff?
Favor onto the knight of your handkerchief to the knight that you were hoping to
not
win
really.
The tournament?
I mean,
not at the medieval times.
That's usually a right reserved for like a princess or a queen or
I think I'm pretty sure that they had falconry.
You're in an audience with like thousands of other people watching this. They're not just going to stop
hundreds.
Just for you, Lewis.
It wasn't that busy.
It's not all about you, you know.
It's mainly a restaurant that serves. Haunches, to use Lewis's word earlier, of meat that just comes in like, bam, there's chicken on your plate, like a huge slab
meat
of
you
roast
can
chicken.
Hold.
Big pints of beer, and you watch knights farting about, and you watch some falconry and some swordplay, and that's pretty much it.
And fire eating.
Yeah.
I think sometimes they have fire eaters as well.
So it's in the 10th and 11th of July next year. 10th to 11th July next year, Tewkesbury.
We
should fully do that.
Okay.
Yeah, but
what are we going to go as? I'm going to go as an orc. Grrr!
Yeah. Hat Films will be down for that.
Yeah.
They've got some orcs.
They love all that stuff. Yeah, they will. They will.
I remember we did go when we were in Sweden for ParadoxCon. We went to this Viking-themed restaurant where they had haunches of meat and furs
around. Yeah, that
around
didn't feel very... I don't know. Like it was cool,
lots
but
of,
like we weren't really
booze
like
out of goblets and
we,
shouting.
We weren't in role playing there, right? We were just role playing.
No, we were kind of like tourists. It felt, you know, it did feel like in the same way though. It felt like going to a really fancy Japanese restaurant or something like that. In that they've got all of this decor and style and serving, and we're just there as like white guys in t-shirts kind of thing, looking like feeling completely out of place. It felt the same in this Viking themed restaurant. You know, it's not like in the Japanese themed one you'd suddenly start, I don't know, singing old Japanese songs or like, I don't know, bowing to people. And
I don't think I know any old Japanese songs.
Well, exactly, but that was kind of what it was. That was kind of what it was in the Viking one. They sort of passed some lyric sheets around, didn't they? And we had to they did a bit of a sing song.
How nervous would you be?
It was very awkward.
Like, you know, you get invited somewhere and you're just like so so pleased to be invited somewhere by somebody to go to like a Japanese, a traditional Japanese like meal or whatever. And
right.
They're going to sing songs, but you don't know any of the songs. You'd be really nervous, right? You'd be,
no.
You wouldn't have any time to practice or learn.
Yeah, but that's the experience of most foreigners, I'd say, in any place is you don't know that.
But it's like,
know,
it's like,
you don't know anything.
Imagine go to church and they give you a hymn sheet. You don't really know what the song is. The shepherds watch their flocks by night. It's all, you just get on with it.
You kind of do that at church too, there. Right? When the hymns come on.
Like, that's what Lewis just said.
Nobody knows the words for the hymns.
No one knows
he's
what
listening.
It is.
He's
unless they got
it's like that
sheet.
Mr. Bean sketch with the hallelujah. Remember that? Where he's like, oh,
yes.
Hallelujah.
That's a perfect example.
yeah, that's what it'd be like, I guess.
Of a microcosm.
How do you think a Japanese person coming to like an English meal?
A rodeo.
What kind of songs would English people sing at a meal? I feel it would be
cut,
like.
Did you get cut off, Sips?
Oh, am I cutting off? Hello?
Sips has been cut off.
Uh-oh.
A Japanese person coming to now we have to imagine what it is that he said.
Oh, God. Well, it was probably so offensive that it got cut off. It's like last week.
Am I back?
It's like a commonplace thing that seems to happen in this podcast. I like how at the start of the podcast you were like, oh, by the way, I'm going to have to go and answer the doorbell at some point.
Yeah, I am, yeah. I mean, because people, we've got our cleaner here today for the first time since lockdown, and we've got our dog walker started again this week. I know when I mention this stuff on stream, people get a bit sort of, who's going to clean us? But yeah, I have, because I don't want to have the clean. I'd rather stream, not clean. You know what I mean? And I just feel like if I want to get a cleaner once a week and she does some ironing as well, win-win, you know? I don't have to do the ironing. She gets some money. What's bad about that?
You also have a family who are very messy, you know?
Ain't that the truth, brother?
I have a cleaner who comes once a week for an hour, does a whip round.
Right.
Pay £20.
Bosh.
You know, job done. It's not a big outlay, and it's pretty useful. I can't be asked to do every single bit of hoovering and dusting and all that crap.
She does a great job.
She's useful.
And
she's great.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
I carried on paying her through this whole thing as well. I haven't seen her for like 3 months, and I've just paid her every week as normal.
Same.
I felt like it was...
Yeah, what are they going to do otherwise? Like, there's nothing they can do. So yeah, I did that.
Very grateful.
And the dog walker, like, we take Aggie for walks, and... It's nice, but like I said before,
you got your dog walker,
with the dog walker, she gets to socialize.
You got your two massage therapists, Jeremy and Ryan.
Excuse me, they come in and do your legs
and your back.
I don't have male massage therapists in the house. Renaissance fair style, busty wenches only.
You've got your coiffurist who gives you hair advice,
no.
Picks out your wigs for you.
He's been on hiatus for some time.
Manages the chest hair. He curls your chest hair for you.
Okay.
And then you've got your manicurist and your pedicurist.
Right. What else? Cook.
Sandy.
Chef.
And Johannes.
Could I have a chef?
You got Rita, the chef. Yep. She comes in and does breakfasts and then comes back for lunch.
Yep.
But then does three dinners a week.
Yes,
you
she
have to
does.
Do
we get
the
Pierre
five,
at the weekend.
The
Pierre comes in.
Pierre, of course, for the themed nights.
Yeah.
The cultural evening, you call them.
Indeed, cultural evening.
Friday and Sundays are different countries of the world. What was it last week? Was it Moroccan? Was it
Madagascar? No, it was Mauritius.
Mauritius,
yeah.
I knew it was something beginning with
yeah.
M. What is the local food of Mauritius, actually? What did you have?
Burgers and chips. Our living sommelier as well recommends wines depending on
well I mean he
mood.
Lives down in the wine cellar annex,
yes,
the underneath the kitchen,
yes, when yeah. I say live in, I mean we've locked him in the wine cellar,
yeah,
technically he's alive in there, so it is it,
but he signed a consent form for it and stuff. It's some people would prefer that
under,
you know,
duress.
He's quite an introverted
under
kind
duress
of guy.
But yeah, you know, I mean I got him from the sommelier slave guild, so the sommeliers, you know, they hire these guys out, and that's it. You've got an indentured sommelier for the rest of your
life.
It's
kind of like a butler. I mean, you've got two butlers and a driver, obviously, as well.
Yep.
And
a buggy,
and a guy
the buggy
who cleans,
driver who drives the
who
horse
cleans
and cart.
The car.
Yeah.
It's a car cleaner. Of course, you've got your pool man, mower, tree surgeon, and gardener, head gardener,
right,
who coordinates the whole back garden affair.
Yep. We've got the childminders and the nanny. So And, yes, and the au pair. We have three au pairs, actually.
Right.
Just because I like them. I like au pairs.
You like looking at them.
I just keep them around the house, yeah.
And that's what they're for, isn't it?
Essentially.
Just so useful. Just so, take you.
How many staff have I got now? I'm trying to think what else. My jester. I've got a jester.
I mean, he's just for general. When you're feeling a bit down,
yeah.
You ring the little bell.
I would do it, but he'll come running up here if I do it. So
he comes. He comes. Start. He could tell when you're not feeling.
Yeah.
You know, when you're not feeling 100% yourself.
As can the courtiers that flock who's, around me at all
whose
times.
Whose life are we actually describing right now? Is it Lady Gaga's life? I think.
Can you? I mean, there must be people out there. In fact, there definitely are people out there who are not only rich enough but also inclined to have. That level.
Do you know what I reckon
servitude.
I reckon it's Snoop Dogg's life, except for I reckon he also has the entourage, right? So he, well,
Snooping
I know he does.
About that life. No way. I bet he's got help.
I reckon he,
I'm thinking
he's
your
loaded.
Bezoses, your Bezoses, your Gateses, right? Your Sultan of Brunei's. These are the people that have this level of service because they're like, I'm so important and busy.
Yeah,
I can't buff my own. Toenails. I need someone to do that for me.
It is a little bit like coming home to your country house in your period drama show, and all of the staff are out there in their uniforms welcoming you home, and they're like, good morning, Mr. Flax. How was London? Did you have a good time in the city?
I'm taking off my driving gloves. Excellent, Jeeves. Put my gloves away, will you? And buff the car, polish the knobs, spear the wheels, and bring me some wine. And I stomp off.
Are they all
they scuttle.
Up and
they
start scuttling and doing their tasks and cutting and scullery mating and chopping up onions and the potatoes and grooming the dog and gosh,
right, so
actually,
if you
how
had,
many could there's like hundreds,
you could
hundreds
the,
of
the potential
jobs.
For anything that you can do that you think I can't be bothered, you could potentially have someone to do that for you. See, there's the door.
Oh my
I would
God.
Get my butler to do it, but I'll do it myself.
Now I'm on my fucking
now
own.
Now you're on your own. Just tell a story.
I can't just. I don't have any stories to tell. I've told them all. I've not been doing nothing. I've been trapped inside my own fucking head for the last 3 months. Slightly in my house, I suppose, as well. On my own in the office right now. Blimey. I've started playing tabletop sim. I've started playing board games on tabletop instead of in real life, and I've cultured a newfound love of tabletop games. I played a tabletop game on my own with like an AI controlling the other players. So I was trying to learn how to play Root, and there's like little AIs, electric robot players that I played against, and I enjoyed myself, but I felt like the saddest man just playing a board game versus AIs.
Have you been? You all right?
I filled. Don't worry,
good
P-Fax.
Man.
No one will know. No one will know my sorrow.
This is the first time we've done a
my
Triforce
loneliness.
-1, I think. We've never done a 2, have we? Did you do one in the early days with just you and Sips because I couldn't make it?
I don't think so. No, I think we just... I don't think we would have excluded you.
I vaguely remember a Triforce where there were the three triangles and mine was like grayed out with X's for eyes or something.
Oh, maybe then. Maybe Sips... Oh, yeah, you're right. I do vaguely remember that. Maybe we can do that to Sips right now. So going back to this house thing, there is this thing which we're sort of trying to raise awareness at the moment called National Loneliness Week, which is happening, I think, on the middle of June or middle of July.
Okay.
Happening this month, yeah. And the aim is to get people to take out an hour and find an online game to play with sort of families, friends,
right.
Communities, or talk to someone else, talk to someone different. And it's a really good idea. I think that these people in country houses. I read a book recently.
You know, it's funny you were talking about loneliness while you're looking up your book. My mum sent a text message to Maddie, Mrs. F, saying, you know, you could tell your husband, me, that you know, it would be nice of him to call his mother and sort of, you know, basically. Said, you know, she's on her own, she doesn't have anyone to talk to and all the rest of it. And I was like, I called her the other day, but it had been 2 weeks. It had been 2 weeks. I just hadn't called her. And I called her up straight away and I was like, I'm sorry, Mum, but the days just, there's no differentiation between the days. Normally I'm like, I'll call her on a Wednesday, or, you know, I know there's a routine, like when I used to take my youngest to drama and stuff like that, I would call my mum sometimes from the pub and we'd have a chat, or I'd call her on a Wednesday when they were swimming or something like that. And I had structured these calls in and she came to expect them and she was there and all the rest of it. And I'd give her a call the weekend and stuff like that to check she's all right. 2 weeks had passed by. And I think when you think about what loneliness is, for a lot of people, I don't think it's just being alone. It's the feeling that there's no one out there who even cares that you're on your own. That's the real feeling of loneliness. Not just being alone, because some people are like, loneliness, I don't mind being alone. I don't mind being alone. I spent 8 hours playing U-Boat yesterday on my own in my room, barely spoke to anybody else in the house, and just sunk tankers and destroyers and stuff like that.
No, but I love reading books and I love playing. Right. Sometimes there are single-player board games or certainly single-player games. You know, it doesn't feel like that's a problem.
That's not loneliness. I think people have misunderstood. Loneliness is about feeling like
no one
cares.
I think you can be lonely surrounded by people.
Exactly.
I think that if you had 100 servants in your giant house, you might be the loneliest one of all.
Exactly.
Because you can't relate to these people or they don't feel like they're friends because you're paying them.
Yeah, you're never
going
to have a conversation with them, are you? Because they're going to be like, yes, sir. You're going to say, you know what? Yes. You know what we should do is build a rocket ship and just go live on Jupiter. Absolutely, sir. Would you like me to get a rocket ship for you? You know, they wouldn't. No, no one's going to say, what the fuck are you talking about, dude? That's ridiculous.
I'll talk to Mr. Musk, sir.
This is why your Bezos is decide to build spaceships, because they say, I think I should build a spaceship. And their butler goes, indeed, sir. Shall I call NASA? Yes, yes. Get NASA on the phone right away. No, there's no one there to say, shut the fuck up. This is ridiculous. Although the SpaceX launch the other week was pretty fucking
sweet. It was really cool. Yeah. Like a lot of people were very impressed by it and kind of, I don't know, it was a spectacle, wasn't it? Mm. It was a kind of really interesting thing to see.
I mean, when was the last time that there was a launch that people paid attention to? Like
I think that's it.
I know that the viewing figures for the different moon missions were like drastically different. Because people lose interest unbelievably quickly in the majesty of putting people on the moon. They're like, I don't care. Yeah, we already did that.
I feel like I've seen similar sort of SpaceX launches over the course of the last sort of 4 or 5 years.
Why was this one unique? Is it because it was the first NASA-SpaceX joint thing?
Yes.
And involved going to the ISS and all the rest of it?
It's the first privately purchased, I guess, mission to a kind of NASA facility, if you like. Yeah. So normally they'd run all of their own supply runs and brought their own astronauts up. But
see,
this
now,
is the first time.
Here's the thing, Lewis. If I was writing some kind of sci-fi book, which incidentally I am, but if I was writing one about that was serious, I would be saying that this was the point that they would look back on with deep regret, because getting the private industry involved took away the idea of space as being something that all the nations of the planet could explore as humanity.
Ding dong. That's 10:30.
That is 10:30.
It's time to wake up.
And I actually stopped taking my pills. I'm off them because I've run out. I'll talk about that in a sec. But So I would see that as the moment when everything shifted and suddenly space became a corporate free-for-all. And if businesses have the money to get out there and government entities like NASA and the European Space Agency and all the rest of them don't have the money to get out there, space won't be explored, it will be owned. And I think that would be the beginning of
a very
bad thing.
It won't be explored, it'll be exploited.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
There's a line for the book.
So I was on citalopram, which I know quite a few people that have panic attacks get put on. And it was really good, it really helped. Did have some side effects, but they weren't unbearable. One of them is I clenched my jaw a lot, like all the time. I'd just be clenching my jaw. It's just a weird side effect. I don't know how you take a drug that just one of the side effects is, oh yeah, you'll clench your jaw a lot. What chemical is doing that? Why does my brain have a chemical that says, clench your jaw loads? And somehow citalopram activates that and just clenching the jaw. Weird. But anyway, when I came off it, I didn't realize that what you're meant to do is kind of gradually come off it. I was just like, right, that's it. I'm out. I'm done. Let's crack on. And I just stopped taking it and immediately felt very dizzy and kind of vaguely high for the next, well, what has it been, nearly 2 weeks. So I've got this weird kind of floaty buzz going on and I do feel dizzy a lot of the time. But that's a known side effect of coming off it, is you literally just get dizzy. It's so crazy. Like I'm a big proponent of good chemistry for your brain and stuff. But the stuff you put in, it balances one thing, but it's just, imagine trying to come up with a drug that fixes something as vague as anxiety.
I am terrified of these kind of medications. It feels like the brain is this thing that we know very little about. We find a chemical in the brain that's, I don't know, serotonin or dopamine. We find a drug or a medication that interacts with that, and then we just are like, okay, let's just see what it does. Oh, it looks like it makes these people less depressed or these people less anxious. So, but it's like a sledgehammer, really. Mm. And, you know, it can have very wide-ranging side effects on different people. And, you know, everyone's brain chemistry is all very different. It's very scary to me to mess with that stuff. And I'm... Obviously, I understand that the need for it, and I think it works and is valuable. Certainly, like especially with, you know, especially because people change. People change. I'm a completely different person to who I was 5 years ago, 10 years ago. And you know, if I was going through a stressful or traumatic event in my life, I'm sure I would be very grateful for some
right
thing to alter my brain mood. You know, and necessary.
Are you of the we should be careful sort of? About it.
I don't like the idea of people using these things without proper attention. I don't like these things being used fairly, just given out like candy.
Yeah. You know, I don't think that happens.
But that wasn't the case in your right, case. Right. And I think that oftentimes, I think sometimes these things are given away. Oh, you're feeling down? Here's some Prozac. You know, there certainly was.
I mean,
that.
One of the reasons for that is like we're going through the NHS over here. So if I go in, the doctor's like, you know, anything that they give me. They're not getting there's no benefit to the doctor to prescribe certain drugs. They don't get a bonus for shifting a certain amount of Prozac. And this was one of the issues is that the doctors got rewarded by the drug companies for selling their product because it's been commercialized. So at what point, I mean, if you don't see that as a conflict of interest, it would be like having jurors for hire that will come in and guarantee you whatever verdict you want. You know what I mean? It's like, it's one of those systems that has to be absolutely freed from any kind of influence. And the medical advice you're given has to be good advice, not advice that's, it's good, and it'll also pay for a new car. You know what I mean? That's not good advice. Yeah.
Well, definitely one of the things that I don't like about doctors is how they get very angry that you've done your research. They're like, what, have you been browsing Wikipedia looking at your disease? You don't know shit. I went to medical school. And the thing is, I really hate that because you know your own body and your own symptoms and your own feelings and how you've been and your own history far better than a doctor who usually you've never seen before. Not necessarily even have access to your medical records because they're on paper somewhere in a filing cabinet in Essex where you grew up or whatever. You know, is seeing you for the first time and kind of, you know, went to medical school, let's say, 30 years ago or something, you know, probably isn't, you know, is a jack of all trades, sure, but also knows about everything from foot fungus to fucking, you know.
I could not disagree with you more. This is good.
And quite a lot of the time, you know, that doctor, while you're talking to them, will look up stuff on the fucking Wikipedia and look at the exact same articles you've been fucking looking at.
I don't know if I've ever seen my doctor Googling my symptoms, ever.
Honestly, it's a very common thing. And so I think you should always educate yourself about these things and don't, I mean,
all right, here's the flip side. You're a doctor.
Yeah.
You have a medical degree. And although it was 30 years ago, you've also now got 30 years of on-the-job experience.
That's true.
And you are an expert in your field.
And Occam's razor, that rash is probably just, you know,
right.
the something nothing, like eczema. You know?
I mean, all right, it might turn out to be some terrible virus from space. But I think I would definitely trust the doctor over my own diagnosis because they'll say, well, yes, it could be that, but it could also be this. So let's do some tests. Let's take a blood sample. Let's take a biopsy. Let's do some actual work here to figure out what it is. And we're going to make you an appointment with this guy who's an expert in this and this lady who's an expert in that. And we're going to figure out what's wrong with you rather than just go, oh, God, I've got AIDS. I've got AIDS.
Well, there's this amazing medical student hypochondria where medical students are being taught about new diseases and illnesses. And yeah. Every time, whatever they're learning about at the time, they are convinced they have.
Oh, that's funny. Okay? I can imagine.
And it's an amazing thing where you read about a disease and because the symptoms are so broad, you know, feeling a bit down, bit achy pains. I don't know. Oh my God, I must have a fucking brain tumor. Suddenly, you know, it's like, you know, you become very paranoid. And obviously you do just, you know, Google anything like, or stomach pain. And it's Google that. And it's like, the symptoms of stomach cancer are stomach pain. It's like, well, no, you probably just got a gas or whatever. And so in a sense, like, but I'm sure most people are rational enough to understand that, you know, they should both take that into account and say, you know, look, you can be honest. You can be like, doctor, look, you know, I was looking at my symptoms and it said I might have this, you know, and he'll be like, oh, no, here's probably not. And here's the reasons why, right. You know. And if he hasn't ever heard of it, then you can obviously think about, you know, educating him. I'm just saying, let's help a brother out.
It's a good point. I would also like to give a shout out to Becca on Instagram for sending me the story. Astronomers have found a planet like Earth orbiting a star like the sun. Throwback to a few episodes ago now where you claimed...
What do you mean?
Thing was possible, and it's just guesswork, and they haven't found anything. Incorrect.
No, they have. No one's found a planet like Earth.
What are you talking about?
What do you mean like Earth?
Astronomers have found a planet like Earth. That's literally the headline.
Define the word like there. Like. What do you mean like?
Okay. The discovery of exoplanet KOI-456-0.04 orbiting the star Kepler-160 suggests we should more aggressively look for habitable planets around sun-like stars. 3,000?
Sun-like star Kepler-160 has super Earth inhabitable zone.
3,000 light years from Earth sits Kepler-160. A sun-like star, because it's not a red dwarf. It's like, what is our sun? What is it? It's a white star.
So it's a
yellow.
So it's a rocky transiting planet has been discovered.
It's within the. It's not too big. It's a little bigger.
Twice the size of Earth.
Less than twice the size.
Orbiting approximately the same distance from Earth.
Yeah.
And it receives about 93% as much light as the Earth gets from the sun.
Which is good because you don't want too
Earth-like.
Much.
Earth-like.
Yeah.
Earth-like.
Exactly.
Sure. Earth-like. But might be full of poisonous fucking sulfuric acid. How do we know?
Right, but it's a good. You're looking for details here, all right? It's interesting that there are planets like ours, even within our range of vision, which is limited.
Oh my God! I clearly missed nothing then while I was gone.
Oh, you missed
like
a lot.
Half an hour.
You missed a
no,
lot.
No, we're doing throwbacks to old podcasts.
Oh, right,
I got a message about a planet being found. Because I think you angered a lot of people with your comments.
Well, first of all, my knowledge of the solar system is clearly out of date because this stuff is very recent in the last sort of 5 or 10 years. And
so what,
I used
what,
to be
what
big
treasure
into this
trove
stuff.
Of knowledge did you have prior to like the last 10 years?
Well, or? I loved space and science. I read all the sci-fi stuff and all the
right.
stuff, and I was fully up on it. But it looks like we've been discovering these fucking pixel dots orbiting around other stars. I'm impressed that we're able to see planets in orbits that are similar to Earth. But there's no evidence that these planets will have even oxygen.
You just got to squint your eyes really, really, really. Like, you know,
look at the other planets that orbit around our fucking sun.
You know, sometimes
sometimes
you can squint your eyes a little bit and you can see like germs and stuff floating around in your eyes. Do you ever get that?
They're called you could look those up. They're called floaters.
Yeah, you get more of them as you get older.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although in the film Cocoon, and you remember the film Cocoon with Wilford Brimley and what's his name? He was in Police Academy.
Steve Guttenberg.
Thank you very much. And in that, one of them goes to the doctors and all the floaters have gone from their eyes because the aliens have made their bodies young again. So
right.
I remember that. For some reason, I remember that weird detail from Cocoon. And that's how I heard that they were called floaters for the first time. Because to me, a floater is someone's done a poo and it's floating in the toilet. That's a floater.
Yeah,
but no,
It's coming back.
I would normally
back.
Think of that as well if somebody said floater.
The book I was thinking of that I read was The Fifth Head of Cerberus by Gene Wolfe.
Wow.
And it's a kind of a weird sci-fi story set on a planet in the distant. It's been discovered, like a planet that's been discovered around another solar system. But what happened was there were this odd race of shapeshifters on the planet.
Right.
And the question about a shapeshifter is, if a shapeshifter is perfect, it will lose its ability to shapeshift.
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean? So if a shapeshifter becomes a human... Humans can't shapeshift, can they? So if a shapeshifter shifts into a perfect human, how is that indistinguishable from a real human?
So essentially, if a shapeshifter...
Man, you know what?
...is perfectly shapeshifting...
I completely zoned out while listening to that. No, but listen, the reason I zoned out was because... For some reason, you stumbling over shape-shifting shape-shifter and stuff made me think of how much wood could a woodchuck chuck. And yeah. I was thinking in my mind, how many shapes could a shape-shifter shape if a shape-shifter could shape-shape? Like, I was trying to, like, formulate that in my mind, and then I was not listening to what you were saying.
So the question is clearly that if the shape-shifter shifts shape into a person... And that it's perfect, as you say, even down to like the DNA and the atomic structure of the cells and everything, then they shouldn't be able to shapeshift anymore.
Exactly. So but shapeshifting, how are they then different
because
from
shapeshifting,
a human?
Because in order to do that, they would have to consume their ability to shapeshift, right? So they would have to go,
that's right.
Bink, I'm a person now, and there's no difference. But isn't that a bit like the question of, similar sci-fi question, is that if Captain Kirk gets on the teleport pad, transports down to a planet... It's not him. It's a copy of him.
You know, apparently they introduced teleporters and teleportation in Star Trek for budget reasons. They just couldn't.
Well, they were like, we can't afford this shit.
They needed some quick way for them to get to another place without having to build a ship and show
well, that makes a lot of sense.
A scene of the ship leaving the Enterprise and going down to a planet and stuff like that. So they're just like,
well, yeah, that was all very expensive and looked like shit.
I mean, they get in the shuttles in Next Gen at the drop of a fucking hat, because in Next Gen they're constantly saying, "Teleport us out of here, Mr. LaForge." Can't, Captain. There's too much tachyon interference. It's like, oh, so they're stuck again. Like, why do they ever trust this thing?
It's worse than the bus. We got too much money in our budget. We can do other things now. I can't just teleport you.
We have to use
you.
A badly 3D generated starfield.
Oh yeah, I don't know. No, I think the transporter was a great storytelling tool though for people.
It's iconic. It's iconic.
And
yeah, there's a lot. Yeah, when we went to Seattle, Lewis, remember we went to that Star Trek exhibit thing?
Yeah. And there was the Kurt Cobain one as well.
Yeah, yeah.
The
Kurt Cobain one was really cool. And the Star Trek one, not so much. But it was interesting at the Star Trek one how they showed a lot of things that featured in Star Trek that then sort of became common things that we use like in everyday life now, like the first communicator, I think it was it the communicator? It had like that clam flip shell sort of
flip
thing.
Phone, yeah.
And the early Motorola cell phones were like, they looked exactly like that. And
they did.
It was like a direct inspiration for the design of that product. And there's a couple of other things too that was really interesting, but it just shows like how much of an impact that show had on not only popular culture, but like, just people in general, the new generations coming up and then developing products that look like
the next
like
generation
that,
of people. Yeah.
The stuff that they'd
seen. We definitely have a picture of what we think futuristic things are. And people want to buy new things. They want to buy futuristic things. And I think like, you know, Apple design has for the last sort of 20 years been very sleek white designs that felt very futuristic in a sense, you know?
I used to, and
that's part of the charm, part of the allure.
I used to wish that they would invent teleportation, because I remember when I was younger, I hated going on car trips. Like, I hated going to visit my aunt in Montreal because it was a 2-hour drive. I hated it. I couldn't handle the 2-hour drive. It was too long. And I used to just like wish and hope that they would invent teleportation so that we could just be there immediately rather than have to sit through the 2-hour drive. But now that I'm a bit older and I've spent a lot of time on the internet, and you know, I've done a bit of trolling on the internet, and I've been trolled on the internet as well. And I just think now with teleporters, I've got a friend who likes to play jokes and pranks and stuff like that. And I just know that he would use that to prank me, you know, like you're just sitting there like watching a movie or something, and all of a sudden he just teleports you into his bathroom while he's taking a dump or something, you know? You just appear and you're like, oh shit, don't do this to me. Like, you know what I mean? Like there's a lot of trolling potential in teleportation that I don't think people
consider.
Well,
like he teleports like a bucket of water over your
head.
You could teleport people into a volcano.
Yeah.
And be like, I don't know what happened to him.
Oh, yeah. I must have... Must be a malfunction in the circuitry or something. I don't know what happened.
You could like
there.
Teleport there. You could be like making love to a beautiful woman, and then they just teleport her and swap her with like a horse or something.
Imagine you teleported like either into the room where your wretched, cursed, cheating wife was having an affair with another man, or you teleported the man and your wretched, cursed, cheating wife into the room you were in. And you were like, gotcha! You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
There's lots of options there.
Oh my God. You could like teleport someone's arm off or like their dick off.
No, not so much that though.
How are you going to do that? Well, like a localized teleportation field.
I don't think you can. Yeah. I don't think you can like specify body parts to teleport.
Always in next gen, that was always a big thing, wasn't it? Was, the signal's too confused. But then the thing is, that meant that they just didn't want to do it because it was dangerous.
Well, it was originally called, it's not the teleport, it's a transport.
Yeah, that's right.
Which is, sounds like a boring name for it now, doesn't it?
Sounds like someone's job. I'm a transporter.
Yeah.
Driving forklift.
Calling it the most mundane thing. We got this thing we use to move around. It's called the transporter.
Yeah.
We're just going to transport down to the planet. It's like,
there's always jobs like that, boring. Though, right? Wait, back in like the 50s when you used to work at the box factory, you're like, this is the most boring job. And nowadays, if you work at like the iPhone factory, back in the 50s, you'd be like, holy crap, like what are these portable phones? And you're making these in a factory? That sounds like the best job ever.
Nowadays, what you're making isn't relevant, is it? I mean, if you are doing a menial factory job.
I don't know.
Job,
some things are really exciting.
The human nature is that the most interesting, exciting, amazing job gets mundane
super quick in
a week.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like you might be asteroid mining in fucking around or teleport to a brand new solar system every week and I don't know, and teleported down to the planet. All those people on the Enterprise will be like, oh God, another week of this. Can't wait to go home and like fucking watch Space Force on Netflix or whatever the fuck.
I tried to watch that. I didn't really find it that funny to begin with. I only watched about maybe 10 minutes of the first episode, but it just didn't. I don't know. I just don't know if I like the setting much. And it had a lot of actors in it that I've liked in other things, like Putty from Seinfeld was in it. And there's a bunch of other guys that I recognize in it, like Steve Carell, obviously, and whatnot. But I don't know. It just didn't seem that funny, really. I don't know.
I wasn't blown away,
or something. I don't know. Because some people are saying it's really good, but I don't know. I struggled a bit.
Space Force.
Space Force sucks. Who said it was funny?
I don't know. People? Some
it's dreadful. As far as I could tell, it's been universally panned. I've yet to talk to anyone who even thought it was passable. I made it through 20 minutes. I was like, this fucking stinks.
Yeah, I'm the same. Yeah, I was like, no, maybe not as aggressively. Like, I wasn't.
I was angry.
I just switched it off. I was just like, yeah, I've got better things to do, really.
Like, I mean, I like Steve Carell. I think he's a likable, funny guy.
Yeah, I really like him. I didn't think I would like him in the US version of The Office.
He was great.
Yeah, he's really funny. I started watching it recently because a lot of people said that it's really good and I should watch it. And I always just sort of brushed it off saying, I think the British one's better. Like I prefer the more subtle sort of like humor, not like the exaggerated. Like Steve Carell for me, like I always just see him as loud. You know, he's always making like weird noises or whatever and stuff. And it's funny enough.
Like a shit Jim Carrey.
Yeah, exactly. And I sort of dismissed the US version of The Office thinking it was just going to be like that. But actually, it is very funny, and he's very good in it,
too. No, it's great. The US Office is really, really
good. It's really funny. I'm glad I started watching
very
it.
Very funny throughout.
But Space Force, I just couldn't get into. I actually made the effort to try to watch it, and I just couldn't get through it. So.
And now, every time I log into Netflix, it's right there.
Yeah.
Space Force, I was like, no, it sucks. Now
it's
you
like
made,
taunting
now you
me.
Pissed me off.
Yeah.
Now I'm in a bad mood.
I don't
mood.
Like that. I don't like that about Netflix, that I can't seem to hide stuff that I've watched an episode of and hated.
Right.
And then it's there in my, do you want to carry on watching this? And I'm like, no, I don't.
Can't really,
fuck
I
you.
Can't
I'm
think
gonna...
of too many things that I've watched only a bit of. Like most things, if I go to start watching it, I'll get into it and start watching it. But I think Space Force is one of the only things
that it feels
that
like
I've...
eating your fucking vegetables, though. Do you know what I mean? It feels like I feel like I have to like get through this shit and I'm like, oh, fuck, I don't want to have to
I
eat
don't.
These.
I'll give it an episode or two at most. And if I'm not intrigued or interested, fuck it. Why bother?
But sometimes, here's the thing with me. Sometimes I just want to have a tidy view of. I don't know. I like
I like a feeling of like I've completed something or I've done it or I've tidied it up. Like I'll watch a show that I wasn't really enjoying.
You're a completionist is what you're saying. I want to get this achievement. Watched Space Force.
I don't want it to be 10 years. 10 years have passed and then I'm like, oh, did I ever watch the rest of that? Or I don't know. Do you know what I mean? Or watch some? Because the thing is, like, you forget. When you, this is something you guys will get used to as you get older. Talking to the audience, not you guys.
Of course.
You guys
know. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were talking to me. I was like, the audette, the balls on this guy.
But
the fucking cojones on this man.
Sometimes I'll see a movie and I'll get like quarter of an hour into it and I'll be like, I've fucking seen this movie. And then I'll be like, this thing happens. And then that thing happens. I'm like, ah, shit, but I can't quite remember it. You know I've watched it. It was all right. So I watched another 15 minutes and I'm like, oh, yeah, I know. I remember what the spoiler for the end is now. I don't want to watch the rest of this movie.
How do you watch a film and not remember that you've watched the film?
But this is happening to me more and more, dude, because I watched a lot of movies between the ages of, like, I don't know, fucking 15 and 25. And now I'm 36 and I'm 37 pretty soon.
Jesus.
And, you know, there's loads of good movies, sure. What was it I watched lately? Something got recommended for me on Amazon Prime. It was like, I think it was called Contact. It's like a Jodie Foster movie.
You never heard of it?
I saw that in theaters back in the day when it came out.
I clearly had seen it, but it was like, I clearly seen it on TV, or I'd seen parts of it on TV, or I knew what happened in it, and I knew it. Anyway, I started watching it on Amazon Prime because for some reason it popped up at the front of my fucking thing, and watching it. But I was like, oh yeah, shit, I know this thing's going to happen. They're going to do this. And then
that movie's the biggest fucking prick tease by some aliens ever.
It really is.
They fucking make contact, and then they're like, hiya, just to let you know we're out here. Don't worry, you know, eventually we'll let you know what's up.
But the way they make contact is by mirroring back the first big broadcast they heard, which happened to be Hitler.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, I remember that, yeah.
They send back a video of Hitler, and the government is like, we're dealing with space Nazis. The space Nazis are coming to kill us. And it's like so accurate. Do you know what I mean? Like, I could genuinely believe the government would react like that.
Can you imagine, actually, if the aliens turned up in full Nazi regalia? Like, hello, Earth. What's up? Huh? This is what you guys love, right? You'd be like, oh my God.
It's a bit, well, I mean, Star Wars, I'm pretty sure the Empire is modeled after Nazi Germany, right? Like the green
uniforms.
Oh
yeah, of course. I mean, they even call them stormtroopers, which is like,
and all that, yeah.
Der Sturmtrooper. Yeah. Watching Star Wars with a German dub must be a little close to home. Little close to home.
Wow.
I think I wouldn't want to do it.
Be careful.
There's that scene in The Mandalorian. You guys remember that, where the two stormtroopers, the speeder bike troopers, are like outside of the city waiting for orders, and they try to shoot a tin can on the ground or whatever with their blasters. They're just like constantly missing. It's really fun. It's just like a really short scene, but it was really, really funny. Actually, it was just
that's a good show.
Yeah, it is really good. I like that a lot. I didn't think I would, again, I didn't think I would like that either. I thought I was kind of done with
Star
Wars.
I also thought it was going to be shit. Yeah.
I thought I was done.
But you can usually tell within the first episode
if
it's something you're going to watch or not, right?
I think the thing is with The Mandalorian is, yes, it was set in the Star Wars universe, but it showed that it doesn't have to be shit. Like all the Star Wars stuff that has been coming out, a lot of it has been shit. But The Mandalorian was like, what if we did it and it wasn't shit?
I still haven't seen...
And they were like, oh, wow.
The most recent trilogy film. And I still haven't seen Solo either. I haven't seen that yet.
Solo is decent. I actually quite enjoyed it. I thought that if you look at the new Star Wars stuff that's come out, Solo was decent. I know some people didn't like it. I thought it was all right. It was a nice little movie.
Would you say that Mandalorian's the best of the bunch of the... Rogue One was very good too. I liked Rogue One.
I would say Rogue One. I thought Rogue One was... Was really
I hope they
good.
Make more movies like Rogue One, just little side things to, you
but
know,
the
main,
way they tie
the
it into the main trilogy, the original trilogy was so hype.
Yeah, it was really
like,
nice.
That was amazing.
I thought that was really
watching
good.
That play out.
Yeah.
I liked Force Awakens, regardless of what anybody thinks. I thought it was a good Star Wars-y movie. The other two sucked.
Force Awakens was, I thought Force Awakens was pretty good. I think it just had a really nice mix of sort of fan service. It had a nice mix of callbacks to older stuff, older Star Wars stuff, and it was just super exciting, right? Because it was just a brand new Star Wars. I
and it had some really good moments and everything, and some good. I liked the characters. I thought this is going to be interesting.
Yeah.
And then the second movie fucked everything, and then the third movie came along and was just.
I just don't even remember.
I have no interest in rewatching. Yeah, the second one and the third one. Why would anybody rewatch those? They suck.
Yeah, I felt like that about the prequel movies as well. I liked them at the time. The prequel trilogy, I saw them all in theater, but once each,
yeah,
like when they came out.
Of course.
And so my memories of them were pretty vague. And I was like, yeah, they were all right. Like, it was cool to see a new Star Wars movie. But now that I've gone back, my son's getting into Star Wars and he's been watching some of the prequel movies. And man, they're really hard to get through.
Yeah, it's bad.
It's pretty bad, yeah. Oh, we've lost Lewis, by the way.
Sorry.
Oh, he's back. Man, what is going on with the internet? It's crazy.
The internet has been shit.
Yeah. I don't know, it just dropped
me. Dota's been doing the same thing over the last few days, by the way. Randomly booting people out of the game for like 10 minutes at a time, and then they'll reconnect and someone else will get booted out. It's shit. The internet's gone to shit.
It's overloaded. Everybody is trying to watch horse fisting
Space Force.
Yeah, Space Force. Everybody's trying to stream it at the same time. Yeah.
Well, anyway, that was a great podcast.
I enjoyed being in it for 10 minutes, actually. It was nice. Sorry about my technical.
No, but we were fine. I had to do a bit on my own fucking.
I had
middle.
To answer the door, so yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Well, listen, you know what? I'm such a smart guy. I left my audio rolling the whole time, so you don't need to fart around with resyncing or anything.
Nice.
You might
all
hear
right,
me.
So we can hear all the behind the
scenes.
Yeah,
I think
you,
I sneezed
like,
once,
like,
and you'll probably hear me just
is
sighing.
It guys, can you hear me? Fucking Discord's fucked up again.
Yeah, I know. And then sighing as I look at my router trying to figure out what the hell is going on. Like,
you know what? It happened to me last week. Do you remember? I was booed off at the end.
Yeah, I remember. All right. Well, cheers, you guys. That was a great bit of podcasting. We'll see you guys all next week. Hope you guys are all doing all right out there.
Yeah.
Stay safe.
Stay alert.
Love you all.
And don't forget to bubble this weekend with a loved one. You're allowed to now.
Cuddle?
Bubble.
Oh. Bubble?
Bubble.
You can bubble.
What?
What is that?
You can bubble with a loved one now. Didn't you guys hear the announcement yesterday? If you're a single parent or if you're a single person, you're now allowed to bubble with a person. You can bubble with
Is this a sex thing?
No, you
what
can.
What the fuck are you talking about?
You can
about?
Bubble with your mom or like you can bubble
right,
with your...
What does that mean?
A social bubble. Are you guys stupid?
No, what does it mean to bubble? I don't know.
I've never
I
heard of that term
you keep
before.
Saying bubble. Like that's, what does it mean?
You guys just don't watch the news.
If the news said you can bubble, I would be asking the same question.
That's what the news has said.
Brilliant. Thanks for the clarity.
Right, well,
that's the terminology.
Make sure to bubble with your
friends,
guys.
Fucking have a bubble.
Yeah,
have
bubble with
bubble.
Your friends
whatever
and your family
means.
This weekend. Yeah, you're allowed to bubble now.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. All right, good. Well, that's good. I'm glad they lifted the lockdown on that.
Yes.
I'm not. If that's what comes out of it, is bubbles.
Yeah.
What are we?
Social distancing, right. Bubbling. What else? There's been a whole bunch of great new terms that we can
stop. I want to know when can we get back to horseplay?
Horse.
That's what I want to know.
Horseplay.
Yeah. Oh.
Horseplay.
Tomfoolery. When can we
that's
get back
banned.
To
exactly.
just
that is
chicanery? I'd like a little chicanery.
You could do that on Formula One.
When can I get back to being a foppish dandy where I just fop around all day and do some tomfoolery,
Mr. President. What
around.
About the Renaissance fairs?
The Renaissance fairs will be back. Don't worry, they will be back.
All and right. They're going to be huge.
It'll be the best Renaissance fairs.
Bye. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.